Pox turned, scanning the valley again. Still nothing. Sun, glittered off the wardstones, seemed to shimmer as thick as mist between them. She shook her head to clear her vision. Messenian was already a few yards ahead of her. "Wait now," she called. "Let me lead where I can guard you." But at her call, Messenian stumbled on even faster. He reached the horses and clung to Windfoot's saddle as he clapped Star on the rump. Pox lengthened her stride, angry now, and muttering curses at cowardly elves. The quality of light altered, as if to match her mood, rippling across the stones. Pox was too angry to be frightened, but she moved faster. For an instant, Messenian turned a white face back toward her. She saw his eyes widen, then he screamed and flailed forward. Pox did not look back. She broke into a run as Messenian and the animals took off up the trail. She felt a building menace behind her, rising swiftly to a peak that demanded action. As they passed the last pair of stones, the light seemed to fail for an instant, as if someone had filled the valley with thick blue smoke. Then a blaze of white light, brighter than sunlight, flashed over them. Pox saw her shadow, black as night, thrown far ahead on the trail. A powerful blow in the back sent her sprawling face down on the trail. She had no time to see what had happened to Messenian or the horses. Choking dust rose in clouds, and heavy thunder rumbled through her body. Then it was gone, and silence returned. From very far away, she heard the scream of a hawk. When Pox caught her breath and managed to rise to her feet, she saw nothing behind or before her on the trail. Afternoon shadows had begun to stripe the narrow valley. Shadows of the stones latticed the trail itself. Ahead, upslope, the trail was scuffed and torn, where Messenian and the horses had fled. Pox scowled at the place the trail disappeared behind a fold of mountain. Alone, in unknown wilderness, without supplies or her pony. She looked back at the valley and shook her head. She knew without thinking about it that she had no escape that way. And perhaps she could catch up to Messenian. He had been limping, she remembered. In fact, by the time she reached the turn that left the valley safely behind, she could hear him, coaxing the horses to come. When she trudged around the last rocks, she saw him, limping heavily, trying to grab Windfoot's rein. The horse edged sideways, nervous, keeping just out of reach. Pox eyed the situation for a moment before speaking. "Would you like some help, Messenian?" He whipped around, nearly falling, his mouth open. Then he glared at her. "You fool," he said. Pox had not expected that. She felt her ears burning. He went on. "What did I tell you, and you had to keep waving that sword?" "You told me there wasn't any danger," snapped Pox, furious. "There wasn't, until you drew your sword," he said. "If you had only—" "What did you think I'd do when you let out a yell?" "You," he sniffed, twitching his cape on his shoulders. "I should have realized the first thing a fighter would do would be draw steel." "Of course," said Pox, struggling to keep calm. "You hadn't said a word about not drawing either."
"I didn't think it was necessary," muttered Messenian. "I never dreamed you would for no reason like that."
Pox snorted, and he went on hurriedly. "If we went through quietly, nothing would happen."
"You told me nothing could happen."
Pox felt the length of her blade lightly, to see that it was unharmed, then slid it into the scabbard. "If you'd warned me, I wouldn't have drawn. I don't like liars, Messenian." She looked hard at him. "Or cowards. Did you even look to see if I was still alive?"
"I'm no liar. I just didn't think you needed to know."
He looked aside a moment.
"And I was coming back as soon as I caught Windfoot or Star to find you or bury you."
Pox was not at all sure she believed that. "Thanks," she said dryly. "Why did you choose this path, the real reason, this time?"
"I told you it's shorter and there are ruins."
"And?"
"And I'd heard of this place."
Pox snorted again. "I'll warrant you had. So you wandered in to see what it looked like, eh?"
"I knew what it looked like."
He glared at her.
"Don't look at me like that, human. You nearly got us both killed."
"Because you didn't tell me the truth."
"Because all you thought of was fighting, weapons. I knew what it looked like because I'd spoken to someone who was here.
It wasn't you, I suppose, 2 lifetimes ago or something?
No, it was a cousin of mine.
She said it was quite safe for peaceful folk.
He emphasized peaceful. Pox had nothing more to say for the moment. She looked at Winfoot and spotted Star behind a screen of trees. She clucked softly, holding out her hand. Windfoot looked from her to Messenian and took a few steps back down the trail. Pox stepped into the middle of it and clucked again. Windfoot's ears came up. The horse looked at her. Pox walked forward and took the dangling rein in her hand. The other rein was broken near the bit ring. Messenian was staring at her strangely. She handed him the rein without comment and called Star. The pony nickered, pushing through the undergrowth. Once out of the trees, she came to Pox at once, pushing her head into Pox's chest.
All right, all right.
Pox untied one side of the pack and pulled out an apple. They were going soft anyway. Here. The pony wrapped her lip around the apple and crunched it, dribbling pungent bits of apple from her mouth. Windfoot waffled, watching Star, and Pox dug out another apple for the horse. How's your foot? She asked Messenian, who had watched this silently. I saw you were limping.
Not bad, he said. I can walk.
Pox started to say he could run, but decided not to. She turned back to Star, checking her legs and hooves for injuries, and the pack saddle for balance. Everything seemed to be in place. Messenian, meanwhile, mended the broken rein. They traveled until nearly dark, hardly speaking. Chapter 3 More than ever, Pox realized how she had depended on the plain honesty of her friends in the Duke's company. Perhaps they were not magicians or elves with mysterious powers, but they did not pretend to powers they did not have. What they promised, they performed. And in a fight of any kind, they would never leave her behind, possibly injured or dead. Now, wandering in the mountain wilderness with Messenian for a guide, she wondered if he even knew where they were. He had said nothing more about the Wardstones, nor had she. He seemed as confident as ever. But she felt almost as trapped as if she were in a dungeon. Their way, or the way Messenian led them, continued upward, day by day. The distant sea was hidden behind the shoulders of mountains now. Pox had asked if that meant they were across the pass, but Messenian had laughed. He tried to show her on the map how far they had come, but to Pox, the intricate folds of the mountains and the flat map had little to do with each other. Most of the time, the trail ran through open forest, broken with small meadows. Pox thought it might be good sheep country. Messenian said no one farmed so far away from any market. Wild animals had been scarce. Messenian told her of the wild sheep, the black-fleeced Corallin, that spent the summers just above timberline. He had pointed out an occasional red deer in the trees, but Pox lacked the experience to spot them. They had seen plenty of rock rabbits and other small furry beasts, but nothing dangerous. Nor did Messenian seem especially worried. Wolves, he'd said, were scarce in this region. The wildcats were too small to attack them, at least until they were high above timberline. If they saw a snow cat, he said, but Pox had never heard of snow cats.
I'm not surprised, said Messenian with his usual tone of superiority. They are large, very large. I suppose you've seen the short-tailed forest cats?
Pox had not, but hated to admit it.
Humph. Well, snow cats are about 3 times that size, with long tails. They're called snow cats because they live high in the mountains among the ice packs and snow. They're white and gray.
What do they live on up there? Messenian frowned. Pox saw his shoulders twitch. Finally, he answered.
Souls, he said.
Souls?
And anything else they can find, of course. Wild sheep for meat. But I don't think we'll have much trouble at this season, Poxenarian. The pass should not be snowed in, but if we do see one, remember that they're the most dangerous wild creature in the mountains.
I don't accept men. A snowcat is more dangerous than a band of brigands.
But how are they I'm telling you, the Snowcat is a magical beast, like the dragon and the Eryx. It lives on both sides of the world and feeds on both sides. For meat, it eats wild sheep, or horses, or men. For delight, it eats souls, particularly elven and human, though I understand it takes dwarven souls often enough that the dwarves fear it. I thought elves didn't have souls. Messenian suddenly looked embarrassed.
I didn't know you knew so much about elves.
I don't, but that's what I heard. They don't have souls because they don't need them. They live forever anyway.
That's not the reason, but in fact you're right. Elves don't have souls. Not full-blooded elves, but...
He gave her a rueful smile. I don't like to admit it, Pox, but in fact, I am not pure elven. But you said, well, I'm more elven than human. I do take after my elven ancestors much more. You yourself wouldn't call me human.
Pox had to agree with that, but she still felt affronted.
Well, if you're not elven...
I am. Well, you could say half elven.
Human elven, if you must know. That's how I gained my mastery of human wizardry as well as elven magic.
He drew himself up and took on the expression she found most annoying.
Oh. Pox left this topic and returned to the other. But the snow cat, can't we fight it off? We have a bow and...
No. It is truly magical, Poxenarian. It can spell your soul out of you before you could strike a blow. I am a mage and part elf. It will desire mine even more.
Pox thought about it. It seemed to her that this meant nothing more than death. She started to ask Messenian, and he turned, startled.
No! By the first tree, you humans know nothing, even of your own condition. It is not the same thing as being killed. When you die, your soul goes. Well, I don't know your background, and I'd hate to upset your beliefs.
Pox glared at him, and he went on.
You have a soul, and it goes somewhere, depending on how you've lived. Is that plain enough? But if a snowcat eats your soul, it never gets where it should go. It's trapped there, in the snowcat, forever.
Oh, but then what does it want with a soul?
Poxenarian, it's magical. It does magic with souls. I don't know how it started or why. I only know it does. Somehow the souls it eats feed its magic powers. If we see a snowcat, we'll flee at once, try to outrun it. Whatever you do, don't look into its eyes.
He walked on quietly some 100 paces. Then,
Poxenarian, how did you make Windfoot come to you?
She had not thought about his surprise since that day.
I don't know. I suppose he knows me now. He knows I have apples.
Horses have always liked me.
Messenian shook his head.
No, it must be something more. He's elf-bred. Our horses wouldn't go to humans unless...
Do you have any kind of magical tools? A bracelet or ring or...
Pox thought of Kana's medallion.
Surely that wouldn't have moved an elf-bred horse.
No, she said, not that I know of.
Humph. Would you mind if I checked that?
What?
I could, look for it.
For what?
Messenian turned on her, eyes blazing.
For whatever you used, human, to control my horse.
But I didn't. I don't have anything.
You must. Windfoot would never come to a human.
Messenian, any horse will come to anyone kind. Look at Star.
Star is a miserable, shaggy-coated, cow-hocked excuse of a pack pony, and...
Pox felt the blood rush to her face.
Star is beautiful. She's...
Messenian sneered.
You, what do you know about...
Windfoot came to me. I must know something.
Pox realized that her hand had found her sword hilt. She saw Messenian glance at it. He sighed and looked patient.
Poxenarian. I'm sorry I abused Star. For a pony, she's nice, even beautiful. But she is a pony, and human-bred. She's not an elf-bred horse. There's a difference. Just look at Windfoot.
They both looked. Windfoot cocked an ear back and waffled. Whether at Star or Pox was uncertain. Pox could not sustain her anger,
with Windfoot's elegant form before her. Messenian seemed to recognize the moment her anger failed, because he went on.
If you're carrying a magical item, without knowing it perhaps, it could be dangerous or very helpful. Magical items in the hands of the unskilled.
Pox bristled again.
I'm not giving you anything.
I didn't mean that. But Pox thought he had meant exactly that.
If you have such an item, I can show you how to use it.
Think, Pox Anorian, perhaps it's something that would call danger to us. Wolves, say, or...
All right.
Pox was tired of the argument. All right, look for it. But Messenian, what I have is mine. I'm not giving it up. If it calls danger, we'll just fight the danger.
I understand.
He looked pleased.
We can camp here. I know it's early, but I'll need time. And the horses could use the rest. They can graze in this meadow.
Shortly, they had the camp set up, and both animals had been watered and fed. Messenian withdrew to one side of the fire and brought out his pouch. Pox watched with interest as he fished inside it. He looked up at her and glared.
Don't watch.
Why not? I've never seen a mage.
And you won't. Bye, orphan. Do you want to get your ears singed or your eyes burnt out? Can't I convince you that magic is dangerous?
Pox did not move. She was tired of being sneered at. Messenian muttered in what she supposed was Elven and turned his back. She thought of circling the fire to see what he was doing, but decided against it. Instead, she lay back, staring up at the afternoon sky bright overhead. So far, they had had good travel weather. She hoped it would continue. She shifted her hips off a sharp fragment of rock and let her eyes sag shut. She could hear the horses tearing grass across nearby. To her amusement, she could distinguish Star and Windfoot by sound alone. Star took 3 or 4 quick bites of grass, followed by prolonged chewing. Windfoot chewed each bite separately. She opened her eyes to check on them and glanced at Messenian. His back still faced her. She closed her eyes again and dozed off.
I found it!
Pox opened her eyes to see Messenian's excited face. She rubbed her face and sat up.
You found what? The magic ring you're wearing.
Messenian sounded as smug as he looked.
What? I don't have any magic ring.
You certainly do, that one.
He pointed to the intricate twist of gold wires that Duke Phelan had given her in Dwarfwatch.
That's not magic, said Pox, but with less assurance.
The Duke had said nothing about magic, and surely he would have known.
It is. Its power is over animals. That's why you could use it on Windfoot.
I didn't use it on Windfoot. I just called him and held out my hand.
That's all it would take. You touched it, perhaps accidentally, since you say you didn't know about it.
I didn't. And I don't believe it. But Pox was already half convinced.
Where did you get it?
It was... My commander gave it to me after a battle.
As a reward?
Yes.
Was it part of the loot?
I think so.
Siniava's army?
Yes.
Well then, he and his captains used magic devices often, so I heard. Perhaps your commander didn't know. It is magic, and it is how you controlled Windfoot. You can prove it. Call him now with a ring. Don't say anything or move, but touch the ring and think that you want him to come.
Pox looked across the meadow to see Windfoot and Star grazing side by side. She clenched her hand around the ring and thought of Windfoot. She didn't like the idea that a ring she had received from the Duke, could have such power. She had always liked horses. Horses had always liked her. She thought of Windfoot, his speed, his elegance. A quick thudding of hooves made her look up. Windfoot came at a long swinging trot, breaking to a canter. Star followed, her shorter stride syncopating the beats. Windfoot stopped a few feet away and came forward, ears pricked.
All right,
said Pox quietly, holding up her hand for Windfoot to sniff. Star pushed in and shoved her head in Windfoot's way. But I didn't call Star.
No, she came for company, I think. But that is definitely a magic ring with the power to summon animals. See if you can make Windfoot go away.
Pox wrinkled her brow. It did not seem fair to control Windfoot this way. She flipped her hand, and the horse threw up his head and backed.
Not that way, said Messenian, annoyed.
Yes. Pox pushed Star's head away. Go on, horses. Go eat your own dinners. She stood up. I believe you, it's magic, but I don't like the idea.
You'd rather have the power in yourself?
Yes. No, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right to be able to call and send them like that.
Humans,
snorted the elf. Pox glared at him, and he modified it.
Non-magicians don't understand magicians, that's all. Why involve right and wrong in it? The ring is magic, it's useful magic, and you should use it.
Pox had had no idea what a mountain pass would be like. Messenian told her that the pass at Valdaire wasn't really a mountain pass at all.
It's just high ground, he said.
Now, as they climbed past the forested slopes to open turf and broken rock, she wondered how, in this jumble of stone, anyone could find the way. It was a gray morning, and she felt the cold, even through her travel cloak. Messenian pointed out marking cairns.
But it's just another pile of rock.
No.
It's not just a pile of rock, it's a particular pile of rock. Look, do you see anything else like that?
Pox looked. Rocks everywhere, but nothing that tall and narrow. No.
Now look here.
He pointed to a smaller pile on one side.
This is the direction.
What is?
This? Poxenarian, pay attention. The big pile tells you that this is the trail, and the little pile tells you which way is downhill.
But are we across the pass? Aren't we going uphill? Then she realized the simple answer and felt her face burning. I see, she said quickly, before Messenian could tell her. I know. We go the other way.
Yes, and we know it's the right trail because of the runes.
Runes?
Look at this.
He lifted the top rock of the small pile and turned it over. On the underface were angular marks gouged in the rock.
That's the rune for silver, which means that this is the way to Silver Pass.
Oh. Pox looked around again. But that only says what's downhill. Can we tell where this will come out?
Easily.
Messenian's smile was as smug as ever. He turned over the top rock of the big pile and showed her another rune. This means gnomes, and means that this trail ends at the rock shelter on the border of Narenfolk, the gnome kingdom south of Tsea. I didn't know there was one.
Gods, yes. And you don't want to wander in there without leave.
Messenian replaced the stones carefully.
It's simple, really. The big pile points uphill and has the uphill trail end rune, and the small one points downhill and has the downhill trail end rune. Can you remember that?
Yes, said Pox shortly.
Good. Let's hurry. I don't like the smell of this weather.
Messenian looked at the sky above the peaks, which was, as they had often seen from below, thickened into cloud. As if his words had been a signal, a cold rain began to leak down, thin at first. They started upward. As they climbed, 40 paces at a time, Pox watched the stones near the trail darken in the rain. Instead of the rustle of rain on leaves, the water tinkled, as if 1,000 tiny bells rang in the stillness. The slopes around them closed in, and the trail steepened. It was more like a stairway than a trail. When they stopped for rest, Pox looked up. The clouds seemed lower. She looked back down the trail. The cairn had disappeared into a hollow behind and below them. She was surprised at how far they had climbed. Messenian shivered beside her.
It's getting colder. We'd better keep climbing. There's no good place to stop until we're over the top.
You mean, this is the actual pass?
Yes, didn't you know? What I'm afraid of is snow. It can snow all year up here. We've been lucky with weather so far, but this rain. And if it gets colder...
What if it does?
Then we keep going. There are some undercut ledges near the top, but they aren't good shelter. We won't stop if we can possibly make it through.
But as mountain weather changes from minute to minute, so it thickened around them. Rain changed to sleet, which coated their cloaks and the horses' packs and made the trail treacherous. Pox did not even suggest stopping to eat. She fumbled a strip of meat from under her cloak and chewed it as they climbed.
Wind funneled the sleet, now mixed with snow down the trail. Messenian showed Pox how to wrap a cloth around her face to keep it from freezing. All too soon, the rocky slopes around them whitened as snow flurried past. They climbed higher, leaving clear tracks that filled quickly behind them. Rocks disappeared under the snow. Messenian had to shout in Pox's ear that he thought the snow had been falling at this height for more than a day. As they came around a shoulder of mountain on their right, the pitch flattened. Pox expected a change to a downhill slope, but instead met a blast of wind that nearly took her off her feet. Messenian, ahead of her, disappeared in a white fog of snow. She stumbled and forced her way on, dragging Star behind her. Pox finally found Messenian by stumbling into him. Windfoot was sideways to the wind, trying to turn. Messenian grabbed her arm and yelled into her ear. "Pox, we can't go any farther this way. Drifts, go back."
"Where?"
"Back." He pushed her a little, and Pox turned carefully, bracing against the wind. Star had already turned, and Pox followed her back the way they had come. At least, she hoped it was the way, for nothing remained of their tracks. With the wind at her back, shoving her along like a giant hand, she could see a little way. A dark smudge to one side caught her eye. Before she could ask, Messenian's arm on her shoulder pushed her that direction.
"It's one of those overhangs,"
he yelled in her ear. Star and Windfoot shouldered their way to the back of the shelter and stood, heads down and together, their breathing making a cloud in the gloom. Pox swiped the snow off Star's pack and rump and wiped the pony's face clear. Ice furred her eyelashes and muzzle. Both animals trembled with cold and exhaustion. Messenian, meanwhile, was doing what he could for Windfoot. When he had the saddle off, he turned to Pox.
"We need to block the ends of this completely," he said. "Snowdrift will help, but we'll have to work hard before we dare rest."
Pox groaned inwardly. She wanted nothing but to fall on the ground and sleep. She looked where he pointed. Snow blocked most of the uphill end of the overhang, but some blew in above the drift. Wind roared through the gap, swinging the horses' tails wildly and freezing their sweat.
"We'll use the cover off your pack," Messenian went on. "Anchor it with rocks."
He was picking rocks off the floor of the shelter as he spoke.
"If we're lucky, we won't have to compress the snow much. That's the hardest work."
Pox struggled with a cover on Star's pack. The knots were frozen, and the rope stiff as iron. But she dared not cut it. She took off her gloves to fight with it, and muttered a curse as the rope scraped her fingers raw.
"Here," said Messenian suddenly. "Let me help with that. Get your gloves on. You don't need frozen hands."
Pox sat back. Messenian glared at her, and she backed farther away. He moved his body between her and the pack, and said a few words she did not know. When he stepped back, the knots were untied, and the ropes were supple again. Pox shook out the pack cover, and Messenian reached for it. By the time Messenian was satisfied that their campsite was safe, Pox felt she could not move another inch. They had managed to secure the pack cover in the upwind gap. Snow drifted against it quickly, and now, so Messenian said. Pox had not gone back out in the wind to see, covered it several feet deep. The other end of the shelter was still open. They had nothing large or strong enough to block it. Messenian wanted to form blocks of snow, but finally gave up when Pox simply stared at him, exhausted. He managed to light a small fire of the wood they had packed along, despite the wind that still gusted in and out of their overhang. Pox helped steady their smallest pot above it. She thought longingly of hot food, hot mugs of sib. But the snow that finally melted and boiled was hardly hot enough to warm her hands.
"It's the cold demons," explained Messenian. "They're jealous of their territory. They hate the warm bloods who come up from the plains, so they steal the heat from fire up on these heights."
Pox drank the lukewarm sib and decided she might never be warm again. Marching in a cold rain now seemed like a pleasant excursion. Only a few feet away, the wind whirled veils of snow past their shelter. She huddled in every scrap of clothing and blanket she could find. But as the afternoon wore away, she regained both strength and warmth. The horses, too, seemed to recover. Pox gave them some of the warm water and dampened Star's grain. Messenian claimed that elven horses didn't need such coddling, but Pox noticed that Windfoot tried to push Star away from hers. She poured warm water on the pile of grain Windfoot had been ignoring, and the horse ate eagerly. Messenian glared, but said nothing more. He ventured outside several times, trying to judge the weather. As the light faded, he reported that both snow and wind were lessening.
"We might get through tomorrow, if the drifts downhill on the other side aren't too bad. It'd be easier without the beasts."
"You wouldn't leave them?" said Pox, horrified.
"No, of course not. We need the supplies. But we can walk over drifts they'll stick in. Anyway, get what sleep you can. If we can get out tomorrow, it will be early, as soon as it's light. I'll watch tonight. I'm more used to the cold and the height."
Pox resented his usual tone, but was too tired to resist. She fell quickly into a light doze, waking as Messenian replenished the fire. She squinted around the shelter. The horses stood head to tail near the rock wall. She could see firelight reflecting from Star's eyes. Hardly man-high, the ledge of rock overhanging them glittered as if it were full of tiny stars. Pox blinked several times and decided the rock itself had shiny fragments to catch the light. Firelight turned the snowdrifts into glittering gold and orange. Pretty, she thought, when you didn't have to be out in it. She snuggled deeper into her blankets, took a long breath, and slid back into sleep. Messenian's choked cry brought her halfway out of her blankets with sword in hand before her eyes were open. He stood rigid beside the fire, mouth open. Pox tried to see beyond him, to the outside. Nothing but a wavering dark. She glanced back at the horses. Both of them were alert, heads high, nostrils flared. Star's ears were back, Windfoot's tail was clamped tight. Pox began to untangle herself from the blankets as unobtrusively as possible. She felt they were both easy targets in the firelight. It was then she saw the pale blue glow of eyes.
"Poxenarian!"
Messenian's whisper was hoarse and desperate.
"I'm awake," she said softly.
What, she wondered, had eyes like that? Farther apart than human eyes, that was all she could tell. Big eyes.
"Pox, it's a—"
he choked, and then recovered.
"It's a snow cat."
"Holy gird," said Pox without thinking. When she realized what she had said, she wished she'd kept quiet.
"What?"
asked Messenian. Pox felt herself blushing in the dark.
"Nothing," she said. "Now what?"
"Can't you see it?"
"No, nothing but eyes."
"I don't know what we can—"
Messenian's voice suddenly sharpened.
"Pox! Your ring!"
"What?" For a moment, Pox had no idea what he meant. Messenian spared a glance at her, furious.
"Your ring, human, your special ring,"
he went on. Pox nodded, then stripping off her glove to touch it.
"But are you sure it will work? Maybe the thing, the snow cat, will just go away if we let it alone."
As if in answer to that suggestion, the glowing eyes moved closer. Now Pox could see a suggestion of the body's outline, a long, powerful, cat-like form, crouching as if to spring.
"You fool!" cried Messenian. "It knows we're here. It's about to jump. Stop it! Hold it!"
Pox thought she could see a twitch in that long tail, like the twitch she had seen in the mousers at the barn, the last instant before they sprang on a rat. She pressed her thumb hard on the ring and thought, "Hold still, cat." She wondered if those words would work.
"Are you—"
asked Messenian hoarsely.
"Yes," said Pox. "How long does it—"
"As long as you concentrate. Keep holding it."
Pox tried to concentrate. She wished she could see the snow cat better. Messenian turned to rummage among his things. She was afraid to look sideways at him lest the cat jump. She forced her eyes back to the shadowy cat form. Suddenly light flared around her and she jumped.
"Don't look,"
said Messenian harshly. The light was clear and white, brilliant enough to show true colors. Now she could see the snow cat clearly. Its body was man-long. Its shoulder would almost reach her waist. As Messenian had said, its fur was white and blue-gray, patterned with dapples that reminded Pox of snowflakes enlarged. The ears bore long tufts of white, and it had a white beard and short ruff. The eyes, despite the blue glow they'd had before, shone amber in Messenian's spell light.
"Messenian, it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful—"
"It's spelling you,"
he said firmly.
It seems beautiful because it's trying to use magic on you.
But it can't be. It's... She stopped as Messenian came forward into her field of view. Messenian, what are you doing?
Don't be silly, Pox. I'm going to kill it.
Kill it? But it's helpless. It can't move while I...
That's right. Just keep holding it still. It's the only way I have a chance.
But that's not fair. It's helpless.
Pox let her concentration waver, and at once the snow cat moved, shifting in a kind of constricted hop as she caught her control back. She was distracted again by this evidence of her power and its limitations, and the cat managed to rear, swiping at Messenian's head with one massive paw. He ducked, and Pox forced the cat to stillness again.
Damn you, human! Hold that beast or we're both dead! Worse than dead! You remember what I told you!
Messenian glared back at her, then turned, raising his sword. Pox felt a wave of fear and pain sweep through her mind. It was wrong. Terribly wrong. But what else could she do?
Messenian...
She tried again, staring into the snow cat's huge amber eyes. It's not right.
It's not right for us to end up soul-bound to a snow cat, no, he said roughly. It's easy enough, though, if you forget yourself one more time. If that's what you want, go ahead.
Pox looked down, biting her lip. She could not watch, and then she thought she must. The snow cat made no resistance, could make no resistance, but it could cry out in fury and pain, and so it did. That wailing cry, ending in an almost bird-like whistle, brought tears to her eyes. She blinked them back and watched stonily as Messenian wiped his sword on the dead snow cat's fur. He came back to the fire, almost jauntily.
A snow cat? That's quite a kill, even if you don't think it was fair. I'll just take the pelt before it freezes.
No!
Pox glared at him.
What do you mean, no? Snow cat pelts are nearly priceless. It's so rare to take one. You noticed how careful I was not to damage it when I killed...
Pox erupted in fury.
By the gods, Messenian, I wonder if you ever tell the truth. You dare pride yourself on killing a helpless animal? It might as well have been a sheep trussed up, for all the courage and skill it took.
I didn't notice you out there.
You told me to stay here.
I told you to hold it still. You could have helped me if you were able to hold more than one thought in mind at a time. As it was, you nearly killed me.
I?
Pox flourished her own sword. She noticed with some satisfaction that Messenian backed up a step.
I but tried to save your honor and mine. Not that I would have thought an elf would care so little for it.
You know nothing about elven honor, human.
Messenian seemed to swell with rage.
You are my travel companion, oath-bound to defend me. As I defended you just now against all dangers. As for the snow cat having no defense, it was trying to spell you the entire time.
Pox felt her anger leak away into the cold. Had she been half spelled? Had she nearly failed her oath because of it? Messenian took quick advantage of her hesitation.
I don't blame you, he said more quietly. You are human, unused to magics of any kind. And this may be the first magical beast you've seen.
She nodded unwillingly.
It would have killed all of us, and feasted many days while our souls were enslaved to it, if we had not managed to kill it, or send it away.
He cocked his head and gave her a sly grin.
If you'd been able to think of it, oh, lover of animals, you might simply have sent it away.
Sent it? It would have gone?
Oh, yes. I'm surprised it didn't occur to you, Pox Anarion. Just as you sent Windfoot. Oh, that's right, you didn't, but you could have.
Then you didn't have to kill it,
Pox cried, angry again.
You told me...
I told you what seemed best to me. Kill it, and it's gone forever. Send it away, and it might come back. Though you could have laid a compulsion on it to avoid us. Besides, this way we have a valuable pelt.
Messenian turned again to his pack and pulled out a short, wide skinning blade. Pox moved between him and the snow cat. When he rose and saw her, he frowned.
I won't let you, said Pox, fighting back tears. You told me I had to hold it, or it'd kill both of us, and you lied about that. It isn't the first lie, either. You're not going to profit by it, Messenian. I was wrong to hold it that way, and that's the worst thing I've done. I won't let you do more.
You mean you'd waste a perfectly good pelt, already back in winter coat, just because you didn't think of sending it away?
No. Because you lied to me.
Pox had backed slowly and carefully across the ledge outside their shelter until she bumped her heels into the snow cat's corpse. Now she turned, and with a powerful heave, pushed the snow cat over the edge.
You're a stubborn fool, said Messenian,
but without the anger she had feared.
That's enough gold for both of us to live on for a month that you threw away. But
he shrugged.
I suppose it meant something to you. Now don't stand there and freeze, Poxenarian. We still have to cross the pass tomorrow.
It was not the next morning, but the one after that, when they finally ventured from their shelter. Dawn that day rose clear, the wind hardly moving, and nothing in the white drifts below looked like the remains of a snowcat. They had said little to each other in the storm-whitened hours between, only what must be said about the fire, the care of the animals, and packing up their campsite. Now they moved through a pale rose and blue world, leaving blue-shadowed tracks behind. Once through the pass, Pox could see not the rolling forests of the eight kingdoms she had hoped for, but more ridges and steep valleys. Far below and ahead, forests clothed the slopes. Somewhere beyond, the mountains ended. She hoped to make it there. Chapter 4 Pox had not slept well since the killing of the snowcat. Despite Messenian's sarcastic reassurance, she knew that she had dishonored her sword and the ring she had used. She had stayed with him only because she had no other guide out of the mountains. Now, as they came through a gap in the trees into yet another narrow valley, she wondered whether she should refuse to accompany him any farther. Surely here, with the bulk of the mountains behind her, she could find her own way north.
Well, indeed,
said Messenian in a tone that meant he wished to be asked what he meant. Well, what? Poxenarian turned half away from him and bent to check her pony's hooves.
It's what I hope to find, the right valley.
Poxenarian looked at the valley, this time and saw in its widest span a group of stone piles.
More of your ruins? She asked sourly. Much more important, said Messenian.
He was grinning again, and when he caught her eye, he winked.
Didn't I say there was treasure to be won in these mountains?
You've said a lot. Pox had turned back to Star and was adjusting the ropes on her pack. Messenian sighed.
Come now, don't be tiresome. You're carrying a new sword, for one thing, and—
Pox knew Messenian had parted with the elf-wrought blade, if it was one, only because he wanted to soothe her after the snowcat's murder. The sword felt well enough. It was better than the one she'd bought, but she resented the whole incident, and she wasn't about to be grateful.
And you say there's more, and as usual you want me to bodyguard you while we get it, right?
I will need your help.
Messenian sighed again.
Pox, I'm sorry about the snowcat. I didn't know you'd feel that way.
I'd have thought an elf would—
So my human parentage betrayed me. It's not the first time, but listen, at least before you stalk off in outrage.
Pox looked around at the tree-clad slopes. She thought she saw a faint trail across from them, leading south, but she knew the ways of apparent trails that appeared and disappeared and tangled together. She shrugged and stared down at the ruins while Messenian talked.
This valley, he said, is forbidden to elves. My mother's cousin told me that, and also told me how to find it. He meant the directions to keep me away. But here is a great treasure. The stories are clear on that, and much of it is magical. Something happened here that the elves don't want to talk about, and so they went away and never came back.
Elves lived here? Poxenarian frowned. I thought they lived in forests, not stone buildings.
It's true that elven cities are surrounded by trees and water, but they're constructed nonetheless.
Despite herself, Poxenarian was interested. What happened then? Why did the elves leave?
I don't know.
The answer had come so fast that Pox disbelieved it and gave Messenian a sharp look. He spread his hands.
It's true, I don't know. I suspect, but I don't know. They say they haven't come back because the valley is haunted by evil, but I'm fairly sure that they just don't like to admit mistakes.
You were more than fairly sure that the wardstones wouldn't work any longer, Pox reminded him. Messenian scowled.
This is different,
said Messenian loftily. Those were human artifacts. This is elven. My elven blood will sense the truth, and my magic will enable us to pass safely what might be perilous for others.
He patted the pouch that held his magical apparatus.
Poxenarian said nothing. And the treasures here are worth a risk. Elf-made weapons, pox, and magic scrolls and wands, I've heard about them. They were all abandoned when the elves fled. My relatives, well, I hate to say anything bad about the elves, but they haven't been any too generous with their goods. I feel I have a right to whatever I can find in there.
He nodded toward the ruins.
But what about the evil, whatever it is?
That's why I've waited this long.
First, my power as a mage is much greater now. I've spent years in study and practice, and I have some powerful new spells.
He showed her the polished end of a scroll case.
And, as well, I'm traveling with a very experienced and able warrior.
You.
I see. I'm quite sure that whatever is there, if anything, will be no match for the two of us.
What do you think is there?
Oh, if the underground passages are still open, some animals may have moved in, perhaps even an orc or two. As for an evil power...
Messenian tilted his hand back and forth. If it were very strong, I'd be aware of it here, and I'm not.
Poxenarian looked around again. She felt nothing. After the wardstones, she thought she might, if anything like that were going on. She touched her sword hilt for comfort.
Well then, I suppose we could take a look.
Messenian smiled and turned to lead the way down. It took longer than she expected. The path they had followed from the slopes above disappeared in a tangle of undergrowth that cloaked tumbled rocks as big as cattle. The sun had long disappeared behind the western peaks when they hacked their way free of the thorny stuff and found themselves on short, rough turf, still several hours away from the ruins. In fact, these were no longer visible. The floor of the valley was uneven.
Let's make camp, said Poxenarian. It'd be full dark by the time we came to the ruins. The horses could use a rest, too.
Star had a long bleeding scratch down one leg, and Windfoot was streaked with sweat.
I suppose so.
Messenian was staring toward the ruins.
I wish we could go right on, but...
Not in the dark, said Pox firmly. He seemed to shake himself.
You're right.
Still he sat, facing west, silent, while Pox gathered wood from the brushy edge for a fire. She touched his arm when it was ready to light, and he jumped.
The fire's ready, she said, pointing.
Messenian looked around at the gathering darkness and threw back his cloak. He glanced up at Pox.
Perhaps tonight we should use the tinder box.
You? The great magician? Poxenarian turned to the horses. I thought you were sure it was safe.
There's no sense making it obvious we're here, just in case.
Then we shouldn't have a fire at all. Pox pulled her own pack near the stacked wood.
That's fine with me. I know fires draw trouble.
Yes.
Well, let's not, then.
Messenian pulled his cloak around him again and began to unload his horse. Pox eyed the hollow they were in. It was not particularly defensible, if Messenian thought they might be attacked, but when she asked, he was disinclined to move. Pox shrugged and pulled her sword from its sheath. As the darkness closed in, the rasp of her whetstone on the blade seemed louder and louder. When she tested the blade, she found it well enough. She noticed how still the night was. Pox woke in the first light of dawn. The peaks behind were just showing light instead of dark against the sky. For a moment or so, she was not sure where she was. The visions of her dream were still brilliant before her eyes. She shook her head vigorously and rolled on her side, hardly surprised to find that she held her sword hilt in her hand. She looked toward Messenian, a dark shape in darkness. Was he stirring? She spoke his name softly.
I'm coming!
His answer was a shout, and he sprang to his feet.
Be gone, you foul!
She heard a gasp, and then in a different voice,
By all the gods of elf and man!
What was that?
I don't know.
I thought you were waking and called, and you jumped up.
A dream.
Pox heard Messenian's feet on the grass.
It must have been a dream.
What dream? Pox wondered if this were a haunted place, a place that gave dreams. Hers had been vivid enough.
It's hard to say. I felt something, almost as if...
He paused for a long moment. Pox tried to see his face in the dimness, but could not. I dreamed too, she said finally. I don't know what to call it, a spirit of some sort, I suppose, was imprisoned and calling for help.
Yes! And there was a yellow cloud that stank of evil?
Messenian's voice sounded alert and eager. I saw no cloud, replied Pox, but something tall, in a yellow robe, with a staff. I wondered if it was an elf.
That was no elf, whatever it was. I must have seen the aura of power, and you saw the physical form, but it was evil, and the...
Messenian paused again, as if searching for a word.
I can't think, he said finally. I should know what it was that was calling. Something to do with elves. And the places they've lived for long. It needs our help.
So that was a sent dream, said Pox. Not something we dreamed on our own.
It was sent, certainly, said Messenian. The question now is,
who sent it?
No, I wasn't worried about that. The question is, what do we do? I know what we should do, but...
I still want to know who sent it.
One of the gods, of course. Sertig or Adyan, probably. Who else would?
The thing itself? The one that needs our help? It might want us to come and cause the dream.
Nonsense! If it's strong enough to do that, it wouldn't need our help against a mere sorcerer or wizard.
I don't know. Somehow Poxenarian could not believe Messenian's explanation. He had been wrong about so many things. She wished, not for the first time, that she knew more about the world beyond the Duke's company. She had not realized until she left it how little she had learned in 3 years of soldiering. For all she knew, Messenian himself could have caused the dream, to ensure that she would be willing to enter the ruins. She pushed that thought aside. Until they were clear of the mountains, she had no real choice. Messenian was the only available guide. Her hand found its way to the pouch that held Kana's medallion. She stopped herself from taking it out and squatted down to re-roll her blankets.
In your dream, did it offer you any treasure?
Messenian, too, was packing up. Pox nodded, realized it was still too dark for him to see that gesture, and spoke instead.
Yes. I didn't know what all of it was, but the weapons and armor were beautiful. It can't hurt, Poxenarian, to take a look.
His voice was almost pleading. Pox laughed, despite her worries.
No, I suppose not. Don't worry, Messenian. Your hired blade is still here and won't leave you. I've got more loyalty than that. But I hope you really do have the skill to handle whatever magic comes up.
I think so. I'm sure of it. But his voice carried no certainty. It took them most of the morning to reach the ruins. As they came nearer, Pox recognized that the grassy mound before them had been a defensive wall. They entered through a gap that had once been a gateway, still framed by tall, upright stones. Although they were scarred, as if they'd been scorched, much of the decorative carving was still visible. Pox stood bemused, enjoying the intricacy of the interlacing designs, until Messenian touched her arm.
It's meant to do that, he said, grinning. Elves use patterns for control. In fact, elves taught men how to set the patterns for the wardstones. You'd better not let yourself look at any of the decoration that remains, just in case.
Pox felt herself flush with embarrassment. She said nothing, but followed Messenian deeper into the complex of ruins, her hand on her sword. Little remained but irregular mounds overgrown with grass and weeds. Here and there a bit of stone showed through, and a few doorways stood still wreathed in ivy. Although Pox could hear birdsong in the distance, the ruins themselves were quiet. No lizards sunned themselves on the mounds to scuttle away as they passed. No rabbits found shelter in the occasional briar. Messenian moved almost as carefully as Pox could have wished, pausing beside each mound before crossing the next open space. As they went deeper into the complex, the silence grew more intense. The horse's hooves made no noise on the turf.
Pox could not bring herself to speak. The breath caught in her throat, but she could not cough. At last, Messenian raised his hand for a halt. When he turned to look at her, his face looked pale. He swallowed visibly, then spoke, his voice soft.
"We'll leave the horses here. They won't stray. They have grass, and there's a fountain ahead. I'll put a spell on them as well."
Now that the silence had been broken, Pox found she could speak, though it was still an effort.
"Have you found the way to what we're looking for?"
"Yes, I think so. Look there."
Messenian pointed out one of the mounds ahead, and Pox saw that under an overgrowth of ivy and flowering briar, flowering at this season? It was almost intact. A curious round structure with columns on the outside and a bulbous roof. She could see as well the fountain that lay before it, a clear pool whose surface rippled as if in a breeze.
"I've heard that such a building lay in the center of this place,"
Messenian went on. "From it, passages lead to the vaults below and to other buildings.
I'm sure that the being we are to help is trapped somewhere below. This is the surest way down."
Pox frowned. "If so, it's known to others as well, to the enemy of that being, for instance. I'd rather not go in by such a public entrance."
"Scared?"
Messenian's face twisted in a sneer. He glanced at her sword, then back at her face. Pox fought back an angry retort.
"No,"
she said quietly. "Not any more scared than you with your pale face. But you brought a soldier along for a soldier's skills, and I learned in my first campaign that you don't go in the door that the enemy expects, not if you want to live to have your share of the loot." Messenian flushed in his turn and scowled.
"Well, that's the only way down that I know how to find. Besides, in my dream, this was shown as the way."
"Did your dream show both of us going in that way?
How else?
You hadn't thought we might need a rear guard?"
"What for?
What for?" Pox glared at Messenian. "Haven't you any experience? Suppose that whatever it is, that evil thing, has its own way to the surface. It could come after us and attack from the rear or trap us underground."
"Oh, I'm sure it wouldn't, couldn't."
"Like you were sure about the other things? No, Messenian, I'm not going down there without knowing a little more about it. Surely your magic can show you something or guard the way behind us."
Messenian looked thoughtful. "If you insist, I suppose I can think of something. It might be better after all."
He burrowed into his tunic, then gave Pox a sharp look.
"You can walk around a bit, look for another entrance."
"I wish you'd quit worrying. I'm not another magician, and I couldn't use anything I might see."
Messenian drew himself up. "It's a matter of principle."
Pox snorted, but moved away. She decided to take the pack off Star and see if there was anything she might want to take underground. Messenian, she noticed, hadn't thought of that. As she went through their gear, she wondered again what she was doing following such a person. She did not like the thought of going underground, in an unknown place, against unknown dangers, at all. Especially with someone like Messenian. Perhaps with a squad of the Duke's company, but a single half-elf? But a scene from her dream recurred. After victorious combat, she was receiving the homage of those who had asked her help. She was given a new weapon of exquisite workmanship and a suit of magical armor. Honor, glory, her reputation made as a fighter. She shook her head, driving the vision away. A chance for glory, Stammel had always said, was a chance to be killed unpleasantly. Still, she had left the company to seek adventure and fame, and a chance to fight for such causes as now lay before her. Could she miss the chance? She piled on one side the things she thought would be useful, and made the rest into a small bundle.
"We'll need something to light the way," said Messenian suddenly. "Whatever the elves used may not be working, and I don't want to use magical light until it's needed."
He was going through his own pack.
"This should do, this oil, these candles, and yes, I can set a spell at our backs that will keep out any trouble, at least give us warning. We probably won't be that long, but I suppose we should take water and some food."
"How about the fountain? Is it safe?"
"I should think so. Try it."
Messenian held out his water bottle to Pox. She frowned.
"If it's elvish, you try it first."
"What a brave warrior. Very well, then.
Messenian dipped his bottle in the fountain pool. Nothing happened.
You see? Just water.
Good. Pox, too, filled her water bottle from the fountain pool, then bent to drink directly from it. The water was cold and had a faint mineral tang. Although the water seemed perfectly clear, she could not see the bottom of the pool. Somehow, after drinking, she no longer considered not following Messenian under the ruins. Messenian led the way through a tangle of ivy into the building. From within, Pox could see that the original domed roof had been pierced by a number of skylights, each with an ornamental molding around it. The interior walls had been inlaid with many colored stones that formed a dazzling array of designs. The floor was a mosaic of cool grays and soft greens, rounded pebbles that looked like those in any mountain stream, but chosen carefully to match in size and shape.
"Here it is," said Messenian, pointing to a circle of darker stones laid in the center of the room.
"What?" Messenian looked smug.
"The door, the way in."
"That?"
"Yes."
He drew out a short, black rod. Pox looked down, more frightened than she cared to admit. Something sizzled, and she looked quickly at the circle. It was gone. A hole in the floor revealed a spiral stair. Dust lay thick on the stone steps. Pox took a deep breath.
"Do you think we're the first to come this way? The first to be asked for help?"
"I don't know. Probably not. Only a magician could find this way down, you know. Perhaps others couldn't find a way to help and went away. You stay here a moment while I take a quick look down."
Messenian set a careful foot on the first step. Nothing happened. He went down several more, bending to look beneath the floor. Pox looked out the way they had come in, half expecting some monster to appear on their trail, but saw only Messenian's horse moving past the opening to drink at the fountain. She heard it sucking the water up. When she looked back at the hole in the floor, Messenian was coming back up.
"Just below. The ceiling's much higher. We won't have any problem. And I don't see that anything's disturbed the dust. The only thing is, the stair is only one person wide."
Pox suppressed a last shudder of doubt about the wisdom of this whole project and grinned at him.
"I suppose you'd like the fighter to go in front, eh?"
"Well, I can't see behind myself. I'd just as soon know who's at my back." She drew her sword as she spoke. "But I'll have this out, just in case. What about light? Must I carry a candle or torch?"
"No,"
said Messenian, climbing out of her way onto the floor.
"There's light."
"What sort of light?"
"I'm not sure. It may be the same the elves used, but it's easily light enough to see."
"What if it goes out? You'd best keep some sort of flame alight, Messenian."
"Why should it go out if it's lasted this long? Oh, all right,"
he answered her look of disgust.
"But you're so suspicious."
"I'm alive," said Pox, "and I intend to stay that way."
"As a fighter? An adventurer?"
"Some do," said Pox, starting down the stairs, "and from what I hear, those that do stay suspicious. Magicians, too." The stair dropped steeply and curved to the right, back under the floor. Pox found that she did not have to duck at all. When she thought about it, she remembered that elves were in general taller than humans. Light filled the stairwell as far as she could see, a gentle white light with no apparent source. She looked back once to see the deep scuffing footprints she had made in the dust. Messenian was just in sight, several steps higher. After what she judged was the first half-turn, the steps were not so steep. She could move more easily now, and, of course, anything coming up could do so as well. She glanced back again, for Messenian, and thought of the spell he had promised to put at their backs.
"What did you do up there?"
she asked softly, nodding upward.
"It's open," he said. "If I'd closed it and anything happened to me, you couldn't get out that way, but I put a spell on the opening that should repel anything from outside trying to get in, and, just in case, I put another spell on it to give us an alarm if something does go through."
All that sounded impressive to Poxenarian. She hoped it would work. "Do you know how far down this goes?"
"No. It should open into a wide hall at the bottom, though."
Pox went on. The mysterious light bothered her. The silence bothered her. She felt her hand grow sweaty on her sword hilt, and that bothered her. Nothing had happened. No danger appeared. And yet her breath came short, just as if she were a recruit in her first battle. She concentrated on the construction of the stair. Pale gray stone underfoot, and slightly darker gray stone on the walls and vaulted ceiling. The stair treads were ribbed, under the dust, and when she touched the walls, she found them lightly incised with an intricate design. Remembering Messenian's warning, she took her fingers off the wall. She looked back, over her shoulder again. Messenian, too, had one hand on the wall. When he met her eyes, he smiled at her.
"It's decoration and information both," he said. "I can read some of it, though I'd have to stand here a long time to figure it out. But for those who lived here, it would be a way of telling how far they had come, though that's not what it says exactly."
He moved his hand along the section of wall nearest him.
"This, for example, is part of an old song, The Long Ride of Tori. Do you know it?"
Pox nodded. "If that's the same Tori as Tori's necklace."
"Of course. Do you know the story?"
"Yes." Pox turned again and kept stepping down. The dust seemed no thicker, and with no changes in light or silence, she had a hard time judging how far they had come. At last, she saw an opening ahead, rather than a curving wall. As she came to the last step and waited for Messenian to close in behind her, she could see a space of dusty stone paving and nothing else. Although it was light beyond the opening, any walls were too far away to show.
"Now this, I believe, was the winter hall," said Messenian, peering past her. "Go on, Poxenarian."
"And have whatever's waiting beside the door take my head off? Let's be careful." Pox unslung her small shield and reached for Messenian's walking staff. He jerked it away.
"What?"
Pox sighed. "Remember what I just said about doorways? Better a piece of wood than my neck."
"Oh, all right."
Messenian handed over his staff grumpily. Pox tied the shield quickly to one end and stuck it through the door. Nothing happened. She pulled it back, handed Messenian his staff, tightened the shield on her arm, and slipped quickly through the doorway, putting her back to the wall beside it. She stood in a large, bare hall, lit by the same mysterious means as the stair. It stretched away on either side of the doorway she'd come through for twice the distance of its width. No furniture remained, and dust covered the broad floor. Messenian came through after her and looked up. Pox followed his gaze. Far overhead, the arched ceiling was formed into intricate branches and vaults, a tracery of stone such as Pox had never seen. Between ribs of dark stone, patterns of smaller colored ones gave almost the effect of a forest overhead.
"That's beautiful,"
she whispered, hardly aware of speaking. For once, Messenian did not take a superior tone.
I've never seen the like myself. I knew this was once the seat of the High King, but I never imagined."
He took a few steps out into the hall and looked at his footprints.
"Certainly this has not been disturbed for many years, perhaps not since they left."
Pox had noticed, at the right end of the hall, a darker alcove. "What's that?"
"That should lead to other passages, but I can't understand why there are no signs at all."
Messenian stopped and shook his head.
"We won't find out anything by standing here. Let me think."
Pox scanned the walls again. At the left end of the hall was a dais, four steps up from the main level, and at the back of it an arched doorway. Two heavily patterned bronze doors closed the opening. Across from her, on the other long wall, were four doorways, also closed with heavy doors. At the right end, no doors showed save the alcove, if that was, as Messenian said, an opening.
"Do you know where any of these doors leads?" she asked.
"The door on the dais leads to the royal apartments. The others, no, blast it, I can't remember. We'll have to look and see."
"Would the doors be locked?"
"I doubt it. They may be spelled, though. Luckily, I have ways of handling that. Perhaps we should start with the royal apartments. We might find something worthwhile there."
Pox felt a twinge. "We're here to help that trapped thing first. I don't think treasure hunters would be lucky here."
"I was thinking we might find something that would help us free the spirit, Poxenarian. It wasn't just greed."
Pox was not convinced. She turned from one side to the other, trying to feel which way to go. Was that a pull toward the right end? or the door directly across from her? And if it was, did it come from the one they wanted to help, or from the enemy? She shook her head, as if to clear it, and watched Messenian approach the royal doors. A feeling of wrongness grew stronger. He reached the foot of the dais.
Messenian, no!
She surprised herself as much as him with her shout. He whirled to face her.
What?
Don't go that way. She was utterly certain of danger. She moved quickly to his side and lowered her voice.
That's wrong. I'm sure of it. If you go up there, we'll...
Poxenarian, you're no seer. I assure you that we may very well find in the royal apartments clues to what sort of spirit may be locked here. We'll certainly find information about the layout of the underground passages.
That may be. But if you open that door, Messenian, you'll wish you hadn't.
He looked at her closely.
Have you had some sort of message from a god? Or something like that?
I don't know. But I know you shouldn't go that way. And I may not be a seer, Messenian, but I have had warning feelings before, and they've been true.
A fighter?
He arched his brows.
Yes, a fighter. By the gods, Messenian, carrying a sword in my hand doesn't mean I don't carry sense between my ears. If a warning comes, I heed it.
I wish you'd told me before about your extra abilities. It comes hard to believe in them now, when I've never seen them.
He gave her a superior smile.
Very well, then, since you're so sure. We'll wander about down here with no other guidance than your intuition. Perhaps you're turning into a paladin or something.
Pox glared at him, angry enough to strike, but relieved that he had turned away from the dais. Messenian looked around the hall.
Which door would you suggest, since you don't like my choice?
What about that alcove?
Asked Pox. Or the center doors on the long side there? Messenian shrugged.
It doesn't matter to me. Why not the alcove? It's as far as possible from those you fear.